Good day, everyone. My name is Ashley Ewald, and I am the host and creator of this podcast, 100% Real with Ashley Ewald. For the 2021 summer, I have been featuring special guests that I feel are really good role models for students, teachers, and people alike. And I hope listeners get to learn from these wonderful special guests. Please welcome Mikey Perez. Mikey, will you introduce yourself?
Of course. First of all, Ashley, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. A little bit about myself. I'm a founder, a software engineer, journalist, radio host. And, you know, what's particularly interesting about my background is that I was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 9. And unfortunately, I didn't go well with the medications that came with it. At my time, it was Ritalin. And it was really difficult for me working within the schooling system. And as someone with ADHD, I had to come up with all sorts of innovative ways to work within the system. And it's those particular hardships and difficulties that crafted my skills as an entrepreneur later on in life. So, you know, I guess my objective of this interview at the very least would be to help your listeners, whether they're students in high school or college, that do have issues. And it doesn't particularly have to be ADHD. It can be any sort of issue that makes you feel like an outsider or that makes the schooling process difficult, to give those sort of students or anyone the idea of seeing the bigger picture and harnessing or weaponizing your perceived limitations.
Thank you, Mikey, for sharing. That's very interesting. And it's very brave of you to talk about your experience in that way. And I think a lot of listeners can benefit from your experience. Leading up to what you just said and the experience as well. So what do you love in doing what you do for money?
Well, here's the thing. I actually don't even want to talk about money. I think that a lot of us are going, think about it, you know, we as humans have some advantage where we're able to plan ahead. It's why we go to school at a very young age, is that we plan for making money in the future. But I really think it's important that we focus on the bigger picture first and look at money as being a byproduct of doing something exceptional or a byproduct of a stellar service. So what I really want to focus on is learning how to offer value to those around you. And this plays a crucial role in planning your education process or even planning what you do after college. It's extremely easy to get sucked into the figures, the dollars, the stability that comes with giving up your happiness or taking a paycheck to pursue someone else's dream. And that's really how I look at taking a typical 9-to-5 job. Now, that all being said, if you are passionate about that job, then by all means, you are heading down the right path. But if you're solely focusing on what you just said as making money, I would say first focus on what you love doing. Learn how to build on that and develop a unique skill set, and then have that translate to money. And it will naturally translate to money. So, you know, and if you think about it as well, we spend a third of our life, eight hours a day, at the very least, doing work. So, you know, you got to make sure that you really, really love it. And a lot of times it's hard to make money around the things you're passionate about, especially if they're in the artistic realm, like being a singer or an artist. But you have to think about it a little more abstractly, that a lot of the skills you do develop are transferable. So if you like being an artist, you can actually become a graphic designer, harness your artistic depth and become a graphic designer. And it'll even make doing your hobby something that's possible, right? If you become an accountant and you really don't want to become an accountant, it becomes much harder to pursue your passion as an artist. So that's just something I do want to point out. And it's going back to the shortcomings and weaponizing your perceived limitations. It's that skill set you develop when having to engineer your own solutions or working within a system that's not designed for you, that gives you that grit, that stubbornness, and that confidence to go off the well-worn path and build something of your own. And that's precisely the type of mindset you need as an entrepreneur. So, you know, I would say that my shortcomings, my ADHD, and in hindsight, it took me a while to realize this, but it's precisely the skills that I've developed around my ADHD that allowed me to pursue my startup. And you need to ask yourself, And I just want to elaborate on the kind of startups that we're pursuing. So we do cloud computing, we do customized web development. I currently operate as a journalist. I do all sorts of writing. I'm a radio host as well. And, you know, it's kind of like you're doing quite a bit. And, you know, a part of my ADHD is that I couldn't focus on a specific task. But that's the beauty where, you know, as long as when you do one thing, you do it properly. The fact that I can't do one specific task at a time is, in a way, has become my gift, where I found a way to do many things. I don't necessarily fight my ADHD. You know, if I have a hard time focusing, I don't force myself to focus on one thing. I just learn how to perfect the art of doing multiple things at the same time. So, you know, I could be listening to a podcast while I'm constantly oscillating between the podcast and learning a new language on YouTube in the background, or watching a documentary while I'm coding two or three different sites, while I take a break and I write stuff, while I'm replying to emails. As long as I'm effective with my time and I make the most of it, that really is the most important thing. I'm sorry, I don't really remember what the question was, you know, ADHD, but I hope that there was some value in that response.
There was indeed. And going along with that, like, you know, I can definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from. Cause it's like, honestly, like I have a little bit of ADHD, a little, you know. And when I was younger in elementary school, going through what I went through, you know, my past of being adopted twice, an orphan and foster homes, like that took a toll on me, you know. I developed reactive attachment disorder, RAD. And then I had a little bit of ADHD that made it hard for me to focus in school, in elementary school. But then I didn't want to fight it. I decided to kind of work along with it, you know, like you did. And Mikey, I'm glad you shared that. And I wanted to ask that question because it's like, it's very important because a lot of people, especially you see, are trying to be this or that. They do it for money instead of actually for the passion. Right. And I liked how you emphasized to do it for your passion, not because of the money or you want to get from it.
Right. But so even actually, yeah. And sorry to interrupt you, but you know, even if the end goal is money, the real way to make money is to have a long-term plan and to develop the skill sets that make you unique and give you an advantage or an edge in whatever competitive playing field you're operating in. And, you know, that comes back to another crucial point here is, you know, you need to worry about the future. That is truly important. But at the same time, you need to make the most of today. And I'll give you an example. Like a lot of us who are going to college and we're not sure about our life, our parents want us to become a doctor, we want to become something else, we're not really sure. Or even if, like myself, very passionate about a specific field, but you only come to later realize that you're passionate about something else. It's important that you have an overall plan about the future, but you don't get caught up with that plan. Because as you grow, and as you become smarter and more educated, and as you're exposed to more data and information, your calculus, your internal decisions will change. But it's important you make the most about today. And I'll give you an example. And I'm sure a lot of students in high school and college can relate to this, you know, especially college. Those, you know, you throw yourself into psychology, right? And only to find out mid first year that, you know, psychology isn't exactly what you wanted to do. You want to become a computer scientist or you want to become a biologist. Now, it is extremely hard to take any courses in college when you're not passionate about them. And this is why I don't understand how people just go into degrees strictly for the money. It blows my mind because I don't know where that motivation comes from. You'd have to ask someone else, because if I didn't like doing something, I'd be pretty bad at it. But here's the important point I'm trying to make here. You don't like psychology, but you really do need to worry about today, not the bigger picture. You want to get A's in all your courses. Why? Because when the opportunity presents itself, and here you're done your semester and you got to now look at your options of what degree you want to pursue and you want to switch, at the very least, you'll have the ability to switch, right? If you start failing all your courses, it might impede your ability to pursue engineering or some STEM-based discipline because your GPA might not be high enough. But also, more importantly, because, you know, schooling is really not the bigger picture, but more importantly, you want to be able to, you need to realize and recognize that skills are transferable. Even if you don't want to become a psychologist, understanding the constructs of psychology will greatly help your ability to operate as a computer scientist, as a biologist, as an entrepreneur. right? Because you can be the best programmer possible, but you're only as good as your weakest component. If you can't communicate with humans and you can't communicate with other human beings and you can't network effectively and you don't understand the basic concepts of psychology, you can't leverage them to your advantage, then it's going to hurt your ability to operate as a computer scientist. And this sort of idea of abstraction is very much expressed in itself in science. Really, if you're trying to push the needle forward, it's extremely important that, because, you know, think about all these terms like computer scientist, biology, they're all just ways for us to give ourselves titles to operate in this economical structure. But truthfully, to be a really good biologist, I mean, you dig deep enough, you got your chemistry, and then you got your mathematics, you got your quantum mechanics, and then computer science allows you to communicate with these systems effectively by creating, you know, by collecting data, by manipulating data. So, you know, to be a really, really good biologist, it'd be important to capitalize on computer science. I don't mean to go on too much of a tangent, but the point I'm trying to make here is that if you really do want to plan for the bigger picture, understand that you are not in a position as you become more educated, your opinions will very likely change, and that's okay. But it's very important that you focus on today as someone who's young, who has so much free time, and make the most of every opportunity.
Well put, Mikey. That is amazing that you said that. And I hope listeners take in what you're saying, because it's true. Like, you should. Like, I'm a very future-oriented person, and you are too. But it's very important to also, like, worrying about today as well. So therefore, you can do what you can now. So then in the future, you'll be good. Yeah, and then focus on the big picture. Like, don't just plan for your Saturday. Think big, you know, plan 10 years ahead, especially for 18-year-olds who are going off to college. Like, for example, if you're planning to commit to a college, but you can't afford it, and you know that, but you can afford another college, go to the college that you can afford, even if you've gotten to your dream college. Like, for me, worrying about today, but focusing on the big picture, like, I got into my dream college, but I declined admission because of the amount of $145,000 of student loans I would have to take on, minus a grant and my parents' contribution to Boston University. That was the dream college I wanted to go to. And I declined that admission. It was like, I could transfer there later or go there for graduate school. And it was so sad, but I also knew that, hey, for me, I read about student loans, and I also thought about the big picture. You know, what do you want your generation and you, yourself in the future? Where do you want to be in 10 years, you know? And so that's what I encourage other people to do as well. That's my example. And thank you for sharing yours, Mikey, because I think that a lot of people need to listen to what you have to say. And I'm glad you could be on here. Now, with that being said, like, how... with your specific background with computer science and, you know, and being a writer and an entrepreneur and a radio host, talk to us about your transitioning from working in a closed environment to working with public figures.
Right. You know, so someone who is inherently introverted and wasn't very social as a person, and I was happy with my you know, computer world and speaking to robots all day. Being in a playing field with public figures and influencers and all this sort of stuff, it is certainly a world apart from how I thought my life would have been just a few years ago. And, you know, that just comes to the point where you really don't know where you're going to end up. And I just focus on carving my skills and expanding. And it took me a while to realize that in order for me to be good at something, I really need to be as good as possible at everything. And getting confidence in myself in all sorts of weird ways. Like, I grew up in a very Orthodox Jewish community, and completely just living in a bubble in some ways, not exposed to the outside world, you know, made it a little uncomfortable for me to deal with people that weren't very relatable to me, and doing stuff like becoming a breakdancer. Like, I was a nerd coding or building computers. I wasn't coding at the time. And then here I am, you know, I finished high school. I'm 19 years old, and I go to Israel for a year, and I walking downtown and I see people breakdancing, and I ended up just doing a ton of breakdancing, which worried my mom for some reason. And, you know, it gave me the confidence to be like, oh, I'm really good at breakdancing. And I got all this attention, and it made me feel comfortable and confident being social with people. And it's all about just stepping out of your comfort zone, learning how to perfect a certain craft. And that really did give me confidence. And, you know, in retrospect, I think it did give me a little more confidence to start pushing out from the computer science and computer realm to doing more marketing. And marketing is all about socialization, understanding human psychology. And before you know it, you're completely in a different playing field. And, you know, I kind of want to transition into the question of steps and tips for success as an entrepreneur. I've kind of compiled a few points and takeaways for your listeners that I think are unique to my journey, and perhaps other people can make use of them. And if I may, the first point would be just never get complacent. It's very, very easy for us to find our comfort zone, perfect a very specific niche, and just stick to it and not venture outwards. And I think, especially in the technical realm, complacency is certainly the death of you. You should feel it's a gift to feel uncomfortable being the biggest person in the room. You should always strive to be the smallest person in the room, and always be in a position where you have the stress of learning and catching up, because that's really where you get the most growth. So, you know, you're in computer science, for example, you finally master a language and you want to stay comfortable, but the world moves forward very quickly. And it's important that you jump to the next framework and the next language, and you've got to start learning all over again. And complacency is the death of you, to summarize that point. My next takeaway would be, as we discussed, is focus on value, not money. Money will be an inherent result of giving value. Be willing to go to the trenches and hone your skills and master a craft. And that takes hard work. You can kind of have like oscillating. That's how I operate. I go through oscillating moments where I'm sometimes like 80% outdoors networking and 20% hunker down and learning. And then I kind of go to 80% hunker down and learning and 20% networking. Especially with COVID, I make the most of the moment and I spend a lot more time learning new skills rather than networking, because I just simply couldn't. The next takeaway I would say is think long-term by making the most of today. The next point is stop feeling entitled. Don't wait for things to come to you. Don't become a victim to the unfairness of life. You know, people get played a short card. People get people get things that are undeserving to them. Don't fall victim to it. Use the pain to develop the strength to push forward. And don't wait for things to come to you. Go out of your way and take them, because the world is not meant to be fair. You just need to operate in it the most to your advantage. And the last point I would say is start really small, but learn how to develop confidence to operate off the well-worn path. So if school is not meant for you, learn how to develop the skills to work within it. Over time, that's what it means to be an entrepreneur, is because it takes a lot of confidence to take a long journey off the well-worn path. And there is a certain character trait from entrepreneurs that they have grit, stubbornness, and determination, and that confidence to spend so much time operating the well-worn path for the real result is something that takes time to develop. So just learn, the world tells you otherwise, but the world tells you one thing, and your gut tells you otherwise. You know, sometimes there's a lot to learn about what other people have to say, because we have so much to learn from everyone else. But at the same time, learn how to give some value to your gut and learn how to experiment and take time to build your own ways of doing things, because you might realize that your gut is smarter than you think.
Thank you for sharing. And that was really well spoken as well. I agree, go with your gut. You know, if your gut is telling you to go a certain way, that's what you follow. You know, I also think it's very important of how you address the fact that, like, you know, you should do it because you love it, and that you must think about the value it has as well. And don't feel entitled, You have to be able to work towards it. And I love that. And it takes that confidence of being able to start now, And speaking of which, it's like, I'm 18 and here I am talking to you. And I feel like it's such a privilege that I'm speaking with you and have that connection. But your words show that it's true. You know, you start young. Like, for example, I want to be in politics. And ever since I was 14 years old, I have been heavily involved. So then 5 years from now and 10 years from now, people can search me up and they'll see my involvement. And I'm humbled and beyond grateful for that. And for you to just talk about your experiences like this and just be able to open up, I love that. It shows not only how genuine you are, but also shows that you know what you're doing and you know your experiences and how it can help others. So I just want to say thank you. And do you have any closing remarks?
No, not at all. And thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate the compliment. I don't think I know a whole lot. I think my journey has barely begun. But, you know, as someone who's gone through the process for a few years post-college, hopefully I can give some value to your listeners. You know, my closing remarks is the journey is not easy. It's very stressful. It really, really, really is. But at the same time, you learn how to love the process. And, you know, it all comes down to really having goals in life. And to me, if it was just about money, I would have burnt out a long time ago. So that is pretty much it. And I thank you very much for having me on your podcast, Ashley.
Exactly. Like, if you don't do it for the right passion, then I know that, like, people out there who just think that it's a cool idea or something like that, and they just do it because, I don't know, it's just an idea. Like, one day they're like, oh, I really want to be a politician, or I really want to be an actor or a singer, but they don't really have a why. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss, is that why. And that why is something that it takes years of building and developing, you know? But I feel like that if you are genuinely passionate about your passion and you want to pursue it, or about what you want to do in life, then you will be successful at it. But if you're just doing it for the wrong reasons, or it's because of an idea, you will fail at some point because you're not really into that. And I don't think the universe is going to make it so, you know? You'll know if you're really into it.
Right. Actually, and I will say this. I mean, we all want to become successful in some capacity, whether it be a singer, actor, entrepreneur, or, you know, whatever it may be. But the real question, that's not the right question. The real question you want to ask yourself is, how much do you want it? Are you willing to give up your 12 hours of sleep or your 8 hours of sleep? Are you willing to give up your weekends? Are you willing to move back into your parents to save a few dollars so you can spend more hours on YouTube learning a specific trade or skill? So that's kind of how I see it. We all want it. But the real question is how much do you want it? And what are you willing to give up to get it? And I think those would be good parting words.
Thank you for asking that. Yes, because I know what I'll be willing to sacrifice and give up. I know what I've been giving up. You know, I don't like hanging out with friends much. So I sacrificed that part. You know, 8 hours of sleep is a good amount of sleep I get. I don't want to sleep in. I don't watch TV either. You know, like, that's an example too. But I hope listeners get a hold of that and they ask themselves that. So thank you so much, Mikey, for being on. And listeners, don't forget to follow Mikey Perez. Mikey Perez on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and search him up. See his work.
Shameless plug. It's M-I-K-E-Y-P-E-R-E-S, Mikey Perez, or Michael Perez. You can Google my name too. I'm sure you'll find my social media. And thank you again, Ashley. I wish you a great day.
Of course. And please follow my podcast on GenZ.Speaks on Instagram and my main account, Ashley Ewald Official. Thank you, everyone.